Blog Talk Radio.
Tuesday family, we pray that you've had a blessed Monday and that you have had a blessed Tuesday. To all those who are going through the storms, we pray that Yah keeps you safe. It's that time of year where the springtime, where we get a bunch of storms, tornadoes and thunderstorms. So I pray that, you know, wherever you're at, whatever part of the world that you're in, that the Most High keeps you safe in these events. You know, they're natural. Sometimes, you know, the Most High may be doing a work in sending a tornado or a storm someplace, but we pray that if you are his, that he keeps you safe and does not allow you to come to any kind of harm. We pray for, you know, everyone, that he that the hand of judgment or the finger of judgment doesn't come down on anyone. In some places, it's cooling down. The next few days here in Arizona, it's actually heating up. It is not April yet, and this weekend, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, we're going to be close to 100 degrees, 97 degrees all three of those days, you know, through the weekend. And then the temperature is going to go back down, back into the lower 80s. And I think somewhere in there, back into the 70s for a day. Yeah, back into the 70s next week, Friday and Saturday and Sunday. But then, you know, this is probably that last cool down, and then the heat will be here. So 97 is usually how it works. You know, one day it's comfortable, and then the next day it's just hot. So not looking forward to that. I am trying to get all the work that I need done to get done on the outside. I'm trying to get it done now so that, you know, I just have to go out early in the morning, check on things, and then go out in the evening, because when it's in the heat of the day, I don't plan on being out there at all. I have been busy building trellises, and I'll send you guys a pic of it later on tonight. I'm doing six of them. I have three of them. Well, I have all six built, but I'm having to put the wiring on three remaining. So I'm gonna get up early in the morning. You know, when the sun comes up, that's what I've been doing. And I got it down to a science today, so I should be able to do those three. The three remaining ones, you know, before noon tomorrow, before the sun gets too high in the sky, and then I can work indoors. You know, I started some germination of some seeds for like cantaloupe and watermelon and cucumbers and peppers and squash. Haven't done the cabbage yet. What else? A lot of them that run vines, and that's why I'm putting up these trellises, because when, you know, a couple of years ago when I did watermelon, it actually tried to fill up the greenhouse, the plant itself. It just tried to spread everywhere, and then the winter squash, they get really big and heavy. I was surprised how big and heavy they get. But they also vine out, and they run long vines, like 30 or 40 feet. So I'm building these trellises so that I can, you know, allow the plants to run the trellises and have the fruit, whether it's squash. Well, some of the squash, the winter squash actually does vine, but the regular squash, it actually grows like a bush. And so I'm going to grow those inside of the greenhouse, since they don't, you know, they don't run. They create a bush, and then the squash comes in at the bottom. Most of this stuff I'm not going to grow out of the ground. I'm going to grow hydroponically. So, you know, I'm trying to get all that stuff in place so that all I got to do is maintain the water and don't really have to worry about any diseases that may be in the ground or pests that may be in the ground. For the most part, you know, the plants won't be touching the ground. So I'll get all, you know, try to get all of that done. Tomorrow's Wednesday, no later than Thursday, when the heat starts to come. Have, you know, the ground cleaned out and the trellises built and the reservoirs for each one in place in the ground, kind of halfway buried, kind of halfway not, so that, you know, the ground will help keep part of it cool, and then the rest of the, you know, the tank itself will be black. So, you know, busy times, the microgreens. I'm going to harvest the sunflower seeds tomorrow, and the I believe these are the mixed salad. And the peas I'm going to allow to continue to grow. They need another 2 or 3 days. But the radishes, I've just struck out with the radishes twice in a row now. So I'm going to try it again with the radishes. So, you know, just busy times as far as this type of work goes. I believe that we're at a place where everything but the radishes I could offer as a, you know, as to be a supplier of it, because the growth on them are fairly decent. I know that the next bunch will be better. This bunch was better than the last. And so I will take pictures again so that you can see, you know, they're really thick in there, and it feels hard. You know, you look at plants, you don't think of them as being hard, but because these are so dense, they feel hard. So when I harvest them, you know, they should be able to be arranged in such a way that, you know, they're presentable. So anyway, I want to welcome everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the internet in general. We'll open up the mics for right now, and as people join, we will open them up. This is an open forum. If you have any questions on any previous lessons or even in this lesson, if you have been following along, we're in lesson 7. I sent that out to you, so the questions that I sent out today are really where we left off at in this lesson. So you should already have them. I took the actual scripture references out because if you didn't download it, then I want you to actually, you know, be, where would I find that at, type of deal. What do I already know about it? I'm always interested in what you know already concerning, you know, these questions. What do you know already? And then when you read the scriptures, the reference scriptures, does it add to your understanding, or, you know, are you pretty much already where you need to be? So I sent out questions, but I also did that because there's a group of people that don't attend this class, but if I send out the questions in a text, they will do them. But they, you know, they don't attend the class, but they will actually do the questions, and, you know, they have some answers or some questions sometimes concerning a particular topic. So we want to make it available, you know, to as many people as possible, even if, you know, and these people aren't members of this church, but, you know, the group itself. Some people still listen in, but they belong to other places. So, you know, I still respect that. And, you know, so they'll call and, you know, or text and say, hey, I'm doing this question, and this is my understanding. So, you know, it's all good, and I'm happy to do it, and I'm happy for them. And I'm happy for, you know, for us. As I said, this is the milk of the word. This is what what the Most High has shown me every saint should know. And as what I try to do is improve upon the course each time. If there's something that I see that I left out, or the Most High shows me, you know, something more, then I try to include it in the new revision to make sure that, you know, we are supposed to be working toward perfection. And so we want, you know, to work toward that in everything. So I do revise this course. And some of the questions that I sent out today, like the last 3 questions, I believe, are not in your study guide that I sent out. So you would have to add those in. They'll be in there the next time that I go through this, but I will add them in to this study guide for this lesson because I believe they're relevant when we're talking about reaping souls for the kingdom. It's not just getting people excited to come in and zealous, overzealous to come in, but we want to give them a foundation that they can make an informed decision, that they can, what, as Messiah said, consider the cost. Is this something that they want to do? Because a lot of people get excited. You know, they find out that, you know, they're a sinner and they get excited. And then if they haven't been baptized and they want to be baptized and so forth and so on. And then over time they trail off. You know, the excitement wears out. Maybe they haven't been, aren't being fed. You know, maybe they were stony ground. You know, whatever condition their heart was in when they heard the word. But we want to make sure in as much as possible that, you know, we set the correct expectation for all new saints and for those saints that are already, you know, been in the body for a minute. You know, what I found, especially coming into learning that I'm a Hebrew Israelite and coming into the fold this way, a lot of the milk of the word had not been taught. You know, people came because they found out they were a Hebrew Israelite, and the churches that they were in were not teaching them. So this is meant to even address, you know, you could be in this word for years and years and still be a babe in the word, still in, you know, in need of the milk of the word. And so we are endeavoring, you know, as I said, to improve upon it and give us something that when we make a decision to come to Messiah, then we're making an informed decision. And we know what the expectation is. We know what he expects, not what the church is expecting, but what Messiah is expecting of his saints. Because I truly, truly believe that it's not really being taught. And so I want to make sure that, you know, it is being taught, at least from this ministry, that it's being taught, and that any person, I don't care where they're at in the world, if they can read English, eventually, you know, I would want to convert some of this to other languages, but as Yah sends those people and allows us to do that, then we will do that. Right now, they will have to get it in English. But that, you know, they're prepared to make a decision, and then they have something to actually live on. So we are in Reaping Souls for the Kingdom. This is part three. On last week, we covered... we actually covered the woman at the well, okay, and we went back in to see just who her genealogy is, because the common doctrine that is taught, especially amongst Israel, is that she's, you know, she's an Assyrian that's been told that she's an Israelite. And I don't know why people have the need to believe that. I mean, it's almost like there's a need to... that she can't be an Israelite. And then we're not understanding who the Samaritans are. The Samaritans are the northern kingdom. The capital city of Israel, the northern kingdom, was Samaria. And the Assyrians took over, moved some people into the land from other lands. But we read on last week that some people escaped. Some of our people escaped out of the hands of the kings of Assyria, and they remained in the northern kingdom. This woman is giving her genealogy. Messiah didn't say, "Oh no, you're incorrect." He just told her, "You don't know what you're worshiping." And you know their worship was corrupt, was corrupted. They wanted to keep worshiping corruptly, and that was the problem. They wanted to keep doing what they were doing, and so Messiah knew where the lost sheep were at. That's why he said, "I must needs go through Samaria," because he knew where they were at, what was considered to be the remnant. And so we covered that on last week so that we have an understanding of who this woman was and what she did. And then Messiah went and took the gospel to, you know, the city of Samaria himself and stayed there a few days telling them about salvation and who he was. Okay, and so we have to, you know, study the scriptures and make sure that we get an accurate picture of what the Most High was doing, how he scattered the church into Judea and into Samaria. You know, we see how the gospel was spread. And then when we get to the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10, then, you know, we understand that now Israel has rejected the gospel for the most part, not all of Israel, but for the most part, Israel has rejected the gospel, the leadership, the elders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, not all of them, but the majority of them. Not all the people, but the majority of people. Enough that the Most High said, you know what? I'm going to give this gospel to the Gentiles since you reject it. Okay. I gave you your chance. You can still come, but now it's open to the Gentiles to come in. And so, you know, we have to understand this process. So on this evening, we're going to get into some more aspects of this and what we should be teaching people when it comes to winning souls for the kingdom, reaping souls. Messiah said, you know, the fields are white, and they've been white for 2,000 years. The world has just gotten, it seems, more and more full of sinners and not full of righteous people. And so the harvest, you know, is plentiful. But, you know, you don't want to attract people to the gospel and then not have them to, number one, get into the kingdom for real, and number two, not live for the Most High the way that they ought to be living. Because this, you know, what I have learned over time is that it's a shame to live all this time and never come to truth, never come to an understanding. And I thank the Most High. I just thank him for allowing, you know, taking the covers off of my eyes to let me see that, you know, we've been playing with this thing. And the church today is playing with it. And so, you know, when it says many are called but few are chosen, and the road to the kingdom is long and narrow, and the road to the lake of fire is short and broad. He means that. And so we don't want to be on the short and broad. If the Most High gives us the opportunity to get on the long and narrow, we want to get on the long and narrow and stay there.
Yeah.
Doesn't make a difference. You know, if we go through all this and still end up going to the lake of fire. So, you know, that is first and foremost and is paramount, and we want everybody who has the opportunity to, that the Most High gives the ability to understand, that he gives them understanding. He's the one that looks at their heart and allows people to come to him. We want all those that he would give the understanding, that they would have a source that they could go through, even if they didn't join this ministry, even a source that they could go to. That will teach them the truth of the word, okay? Because it is it's just paramount that we get into the kingdom. Don't get, you know, if we don't make it into the kingdom, all this is for nothing, okay? So we're going to cover that on this evening. Let me have the ladies and let me say good evening to all of you. Shalom.
Shalom.
Whether you're in Pal Talk, on Blog Talk, on the internet in general, wherever you may be, we greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. Let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. And let us do our statement of faith. And go ahead and jump into this lesson on this evening, and answer, you know, as many of these questions as possible on this evening. So I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 and verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. I can do all three things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We just glorify you, Father. We lift you up. We magnify your name. For you are our Elohim, Father. You are our Elohim and our Redeemer, our Savior. Hallelujah. You are our Shakur. You are the one that provides for us. And Father, we just thank you here and now for being our provider and for allowing us to have a mind to worship you, Father. And hallelujah, to seek you out and to walk in your ways. Father, we just glorify you on this day. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to you, O Yah Elohim. Glory to you. Hallelujah. The Elohim of Abraham. The Elohim of Isaac. The Elohim of Israel. Hallelujah. We thank you on today, Father. Hallelujah. We ask that you would come and that you would be in this meeting, Father, and that it would be you that would teach us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. The book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 15. Our reference scripture for this class. 2 Timothy, chapter 2, and verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto Elohim, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. All right. Let us go ahead and jump into this lesson. We want to greet all those people listening on Pal Talk and in Blog Talk. If you're listening from the internet broadcast, if you are in another country, we greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. And, you know, I want to encourage, if you are not able to get a copy of this lesson, you're not able to attend of this lesson, of this MILK series, study guide, and you're in another country, if you, you know, I can... If you request it, then I can probably try to convert it to another language. You know, Word and other programs will do that. I'll do it on a case-by-case basis if it's going to help your understanding, but I can't, you know, I'm kind of leery to do that because something said in English, just translated word for word into another language, a lot of times you lose something, or something is said not the right way. And so if you ask for that, then I'm going to also ask that you, when you are going through the study guide, that you, if you see something that doesn't make sense to you in your language, or it doesn't, you know, it's saying something that you know it ought not say, then I would ask that you, you know, contact me and let's have a short discussion on it. And then you make the you know, the necessary corrections to the question, the answer, you know, each individual can put in for themselves, but the questions, I want to make sure that they are asking, you know, what is intended. I can do it with the English, but I may have a problem with doing it with, you know, another language. So we are starting in the study guide, lesson number 7. Your question number 1 is actually question number 11 in the study guide. When people will not receive the witness, as I said on last week and through the week, you have to understand that what you have, the Most High says, is so precious that you would go and sell your all for it. You got to understand that there's nothing on this planet more valuable than this gospel. Because it's going to, you know, this gospel is what's going to get you into the kingdom. This gospel is what's going to secure your eternity. And where you're going to spend it at. Whether you're going to spend it in paradise or whether you're going to spend it in the lake of fire. So there's nothing on this planet that will bring you eternal life and make sure that you are not in the lake, but this gospel. So you as the presenter of the gospel have to understand just how valuable what you have is. And you shouldn't take it for granted, and you shouldn't, you know, devalue it or treat it as anything common. Okay, understand how valuable it is. And what your mindset should be in relationship to it. That what I got, the treasure I got, ain't nothing on this earth more valuable than this.
Amen.
And no matter what somebody may think, they might think that, you know, their money is more valuable. Or their gold or their silver. Or their house. Their car. Whatever it is, you know, materialistically. Oh, that's more valuable than what you're trying to tell me. And if that's the way they feel, then, and if they reject the gospel, then we're told that we're supposed to be a certain way about this. And, you know, and as the disciples and the children of the Most High, we have to start getting this attitude. And it's an attitude. What? You don't want this? You don't see no value in this? Okay, because you have to feel that way about it yourself. So hear me when I say this. You have to feel that the gospel is the most valuable thing that you could have, that you own, that you're in possession of. Your salvation, there is no greater gift, nothing in your life more valuable than that. And if you don't have that mentality, then I can guarantee you that you're not going to do the things you're supposed to do because your mentality is not going to be right for what the Most High wants. You know, and I can say, hey, I was guilty of the same, but the Most High has shown me and allowed me to see that, you know, we have to be of this mentality. So let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 10. The book of Luke, chapter 10. Because when you are presenting this gospel, when you are laboring in the field, when you are, you know, doing the work, then you have to understand that what you have is precious. It's valuable. It has value. It has merit. And there is nothing more valuable on this earth. You got to know that. When you die, you can't take your house with you. You can't take your clothes with you.
You can't take nothing.
You can't take nothing with you. But you're going to get up again. And if you believe that when you get up, then you're going to be rewarded according to your what? Your work.
Your work.
Work.
So you got to understand that. And you got to place some value in it. And the Most High says, you know, if you want to belong to me, then this has to be the most valuable thing to you. Mm-hmm. Okay. So Luke chapter 10. And I got, you know, we're going to start in verse 10. But I'm going to start in verse 1 and read through verse 15. Because, again, context is everything. After these things, Yah appointed other 70 also, or Mashiach did, appointed other 70. Now, this is the 70 people. These are not the apostles. And sent them two by two before his face into every city and place, wherever or whether he himself would come. So these 70 go out ahead of Messiah. And they're announcing that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And they're offering the kingdom to everybody. And then Messiah's coming, you know, he's the main attraction. And he's going to come behind them. Every place that he would go, these 70 went. His apostles didn't go ahead of him everywhere he was going to go. But these 70 did. They also went into Samaria. That's how the woman at the well knew about Messiah. The 70 others that he appointed had already gone there and told them that Messiah was coming. Okay, so understand what happened. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. We got a big harvest to bring in, and we ain't got a lot of laborers. Pray ye therefore that Yah Elohim of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to be what? Laborers. Yes. Helping bring people into the kingdom. Okay? Go your way. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes. Salute no man by the way. Don't even speak to nobody. Go where I send you to go and do what I told you to do. Okay? And into whatsoever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And what I want us to do when we're reading this, I want, first of all, Messiah said, he told these 70, go your way. I'm sending you as lambs among wolves. Can anybody tell me what defense mechanism a lamb uses to defend itself? Does it bite?
No.
Does it scratch?
No.
Does it kick? Sheep are defenseless. And if he's sending you as a lamb is a baby sheep. How much more defenseless do you think that you are as a lamb? So you got to depend upon your shepherd, right?
Amen.
Yeah.
Because that's all the lamb has, is their shepherd. We got to depend upon Messiah as our shepherd. We got to know that and believe and know that he's protecting us, because he's sending us out into the world among wolves. And they will devour you. If you're trying to go on your own, if you're trying to do a work on your own, there's some people in this world, like I said, that know this book. And they are not Christians. Okay, and so you have to know that he's sending you out, and the world is not like you. You're supposed to be in the world, but not of it. The world is wicked and evil. You're told to be meek and humble. The world is vicious and unkind and evil. The exact opposite of you. But I'm sending you out here. And he says, carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. Salute means to greet. And into whatsoever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. He If there's peace in this house and they will hear you, you're going to let your peace rest on this house. If not, if it is there, if the Son of Peace be there, then let your peace remain. If not, it shall turn to you again, your peace. Because, see, again, we're walking, we're not walking in the authority and the power that the Most High has given us. And we don't believe that we have any power. But your tongue and what you say will manifest itself. And so you got to be very careful what you say and what you don't say. Because the power of life and death, where is it at in the scriptures? Where does it say?
Lies in the tongue. Lies in the tongue.
It lies in the tongue. And if you understand who you are and what you are, then you understand that you have the power to forgive sin or not. See, we're looking for the Most High to forgive. It's the Most High. If he's in you, then you have the power to forgive sin. And you have the power to leave peace in a house. You also have the power to take it away. So let's read this. If not, it shall turn to you again, your peace. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the labor is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. So he's telling you, don't go from house to house. If you go into a city or you go into a neighborhood, you just stay in one house. Now, the world is a lot different today. It really is. And so we would have to find ways to do this and still fulfill what Messiah is telling us to do. Because, you know, it's not often that, you know, it used to be if you were a traveler, you come into a town, the town wasn't that big. Most everybody that was in the town lived in the town, and then they had those people that lived in, what, the surrounding areas? Farms and things like that. And so it's we have to work smarter and be wise. And so we have to use the tools that are available to us. But the mentality should be the same. So you're supposed to get paid by your labor, for your labor. It says the labor is worthy of his hire. The Most High hired you to do a job. Okay. And into whatsoever city you enter, if they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. Now, remember, in this case, they're not going to the Gentiles yet. So should you enter it, should they be entering into any house where people are eating unclean?
No.
I mean, if you go into so-called Hebrew Israelites, and this is where they're going right now, and they're preaching the gospel, then they shouldn't be eating anything unclean. So whatever they set before you, eat. But when you start going to the Gentiles, and I'm going to be truthful with you, you shouldn't be finding any unclean things amongst Israel. But we know, for Israel that is not awakened, do we still have Hebrew Israelites that are asleep?
Yeah.
Do we still have Hebrew Israelites that are still eating unclean?
Yes, we do.
And if you go to them and to take the gospel to them, he just told you, whatever they sit in front of you, do what?
Eat.
Eat it. Oh, no, I don't eat that stuff. Then you're not meant to do this. Because you have to know that you can't offend people like that and then try to win them into the kingdom. Now, if you are at the job and you have an opportunity, you know, to talk to someone, and you know, there's a place for it to take, you know, to take the conversation, to have a conversation, and they're asking you about your life, they see that, hey, you seem to be different, and yada yada yada, and you have an opportunity to tell them who you are and what you observe, then you tell them. And then if it comes down to, you know, as we had the lesson on, if they invite you to dinner and you accept and you haven't told them that you keep the dietary laws, then whatever they said in front of you, you're told to eat. And a lot of Hebrews don't like me saying this, but I got to tell you the truth. Whatever they said in front of you, eat. Not asking again, for your conscience sake. Unless you see them bless it to some idol, some other god, that's the only time you don't. So he's saying, so whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein. And say unto them, the kingdom of Elohim has come nigh unto you. Now, a lot of us, we're not walking in any gift. If I were to ask each one of you, what gift do you have of the Ruach? You should be able to tell me. Because you were supposed to receive gifts when you received the Ruach HaKodesh. Whether it's a gift of healing, whether it's a gift of prophecy, whether it's a gift of teaching, whether it was wisdom. He said he left gifts, and the Holy Spirit gives us gifts. And so this ability to heal, we're supposed to be able to have that. Somebody. And it actually does really take the laying on of hands. We're going to talk about that another time. But it takes the laying on of hands to heal. And because you have to understand how it works. And what the scripture is actually saying to us, when you walk in that gift, you take that disease, whatever it is. That's why if you're taking the disease, you better be prayed up. You better be walking right. Because you might take something you can't get rid of because you're in sin. So that when we do healing, I will teach you, as the Most High has shown me, that this works and how it has worked through me. But you should have gifts. Okay? And heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of Elohim has come nigh or near unto you. You're supposed to be announcing the kingdom. And when you come near to them, the kingdom of heaven has come near to them. And it's available to them if they have not entered in, if they have not heard about it, if they've heard about it and hadn't made a decision. Because sometimes someone plants and another waters, and vice versa. Sometimes you do both. But into whatsoever city you enter and they receive you not, you can say, take this from a city to a home. Okay? Because today we would more so be entering into somebody's home rather than to, you know, if we had the ability, maybe if we had a TV broadcast or a radio broadcast that was citywide or, you know, localized like that, then we may still be able to apply this. And we don't know. I don't know how the Most High is going to work in this. But I'm sure he's going to work it out. Because we still have that, you know, even though we are looking to get away, we still have to do this work. It cannot go undone. Okay. But into whatsoever city you enter and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same and say, even the very dust of your city which cleaves unto us, we do wipe against you, wipe off against you. Is that an attitude?
Yes, it is.
And it's an attitude that, hey, if you don't want this, then we shake the very dust of your city. We shake the very dust of your home off our feet. And it still will be a witness against you. Now, you know, this is what Messiah is saying to do. Go your way out into the streets of the same and say, even the very dust of your city which cleaves unto us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be sure of this, that the kingdom of Elohim has come nigh unto you. Be sure today the kingdom came close to you and you rejected it. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. It's the same, if you make this on an individual level, it's the same thing. Anybody that you present this gospel to and they reject it, it shall be more tolerable for the citizens of Sodom than for what? That person. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethesda. For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented. They would a long time ago repented. Sitting in sackcloth and ashes. If they saw the works you saw, they would have repented a long time ago. Turn from their wicked ways. Stop sinning. So on an individual level, this is the same. This is the same. And so you got to understand that what you have is of so valuable that the Most High says, hey, if they reject it, knock the dust off your shoes. You don't want this? I'm not going to try to force you to take it. I'm not going to beg and plead with you to come into the kingdom.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you that the kingdom of heaven is at hand and that forgiveness for your sins is at hand. And if you want to be right with the Most High, the kingdom has come nigh unto you, has come near to you. Each one of us should be able to tell somebody how to be saved. What is the process? If they're willing to hear it, then you should know how to do it. You don't say the kingdom of heaven is at hand. They say, how I get in? Well, I don't know, but it's here. So you have to be prepared and equipped to do that. And you have to be willing to do it. Somebody say, I want to get into the kingdom. And then you say, well, I don't know how to get you in. No. As one of your jobs is to help people get into the kingdom and help them to get into it the right way. And you yourself must be a what? Example. You can't be out here raising hell and sinning everywhere and then say, I'm going to take the gospel of the kingdom to somebody, and then they see you and see you raising hell and say, well, wait a minute. Why should I want what you want when you're doing the same thing I'm doing?
Amen.
How are you any better off than me? As a matter of fact, you're being hypocritical because you're telling me I got to stop all this stuff that I see you doing. So we can't be hypocrites. Okay? But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. Verse 15. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. You know, you got a lot of people that you can go to, people who, you know, think they're all high and mighty, think they're doing well. I'm blessed. I don't know what you're talking about. But still living in sin. Still haven't really truly come to the Most High. Says they say they know me, but indeed they deny me. Well, you say you know the Most High, but you don't keep his statutes, laws, and commandments. So how do you know him? Well, I know he forgave me. But what did he forgive you of? He forgave me my sin. then why are you still sinning? Why are you still willfully sinning if he forgave you your sin? Oh, he's going to forgive me, you know, for all my sins, no matter what. No, you are deceived. You've been hoodwinked. You've been told a lie. Because you can't treat the Most High that way and think that you're going to get away with it. And this is what they're being taught. He that hears you hears me, and he that despises you, who else do they despise?
They despise him.
Despise Messiah. That's who you represent. So you got to know how valuable what you have is, and you can't let people treat it as less than. You can't let people make you feel as less than. Or I shouldn't feel that way about you. You are on your way to hell, to the lake, because you refuse to do right. And you think you got all the time in the world to get it right. But tomorrow ain't promised to none of us.
Amen.
So if you were thinking about, oh, well, I'll repent next week, you might not be here next week to repent. You have to let them know the urgency of it. Because if you die in your sin, this is where you're going. And you need to be able to describe the lake of fire for them. You need to be able to describe the kingdom and the advantages of getting into the kingdom of the Most High. And you need to be able to describe the lake of fire and why in the heck they don't want to go there. And then let them make their choice. If as long as you've done what you're supposed to do, that's all that you can do.
Mm-hmm.
So in as much as they will hear you, you tell them. When they don't want to hear you anymore, what do? Keep it moving.
Keep it moving. Go your way.
If they didn't reject you altogether, then you gave them the gospel. That's what you're supposed to do. If they get excited about it and convicted about it, that's why I say conviction. I am a sinner. I am in trouble. Because, you know, the truth of the matter is, and, you know, I'm going to say this until the time the Most High take me off this planet. The world don't fear him.
No, they don't. No, they don't.
They truly don't fear him. And it's up to you to put the fear of Elohim in them. You know, a lot of people say, well, you're just teaching fear-mongering. No, I'm not teaching fear-mongering. I'm teaching you that the Most High says fear him. Well, I just want to love him. How are you going to love him? And the only way you're going to keep his commandments is to fear him. You're not keeping his commandments out of love, because you say his love will have mercy on you. You'll justify yourself. But the Most High loves me, so he's going to have mercy on me. He's going to forgive me. And you're going to keep using that same excuse. So no, you need to fear him. He tells us over and over and over again, you need to fear me. And this is what the world lacks. All right, so if somebody refuses this gospel, you don't keep trying to force it on them.
Nope.
You tell them, all right, well, I came and the kingdom of heaven was here to be offered to you today and you rejected it. And the people who are the cities that the Most High destroyed and the people that he destroyed in those cities, they're going to do better in the judgment than you. That's what he says to tell them. These people were wicked and the Most High destroyed them. And he says they will do better than you because they didn't even have the gospel presented to them. and you've had it presented to you and you rejected it. Let's go to, does everybody understand that you're supposed to have a certain attitude about this gospel?
Amen.
Yes. Yes.
And
amen.
If it's supposed to be the most valuable thing in your life, to be his disciple, then when you present it to people, you have to present it that it's the most valuable thing to you so that it'll be the most valuable thing to them.
Mm.
Because that's how valuable it really is.
It is.
Okay. And if they reject such a great salvation, such a great gift, he says, shake the dust of their home, of their city, of their street, off of you. And you being the dutiful and the obedient servant, you have to do this. I tried to give you the gospel, you wouldn't take it, so I shake the dust of my feet off against you. That's what you're commanded to do. And he says, because they despise you, they despise him. And if they despise him, they despise the one that what? Sent him. You got to believe that. You got to know that and believe it. You can hate me if you want to. But it's not me you hating, because it's not my gospel. You're hating the very God you say that you fear or you don't fear, or that one I just told you about. So despise me if you want to. Because, see, we got this mentality wrong. Oh, let me just, you know, let me be, you know, I'm not going to be all up in your face, but this is what he says to do. Okay. All right. Let's go to, let's answer the next question. What did Yah tell Paul when he faces opposition at Corinth? Let's go to Acts chapter 18. The book of Acts chapter 18. And we're going to get verses 9 and 10. Now, well, let's actually start in verse 1, because you're going to see that some people here got saved. All right? They believed the gospel, and they got saved. Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue. So let's start in verse 1, and we'll read down through verse 10. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy. This Jew is named Aquila. He was born in Pontus, and he came from where?
Italy. He went to Italy.
Italy. Okay. So came from Italy with his wife Priscilla. Because that Claudius was a Roman, had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. So they've been told to leave Rome, and they've come back to where? Jerusalem. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and worked, for by their occupation they were tent makers. So Paul was a tent maker. And this man, Aquila, was a tent maker. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come unto from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Yeshua was the Messiah, was Christ. And when they opposed themselves, and blasphemed. Now the Jews opposed themselves the ones that he was speaking to, and they blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth, I will go where?
To the Gentiles.
Unto the Gentiles. You don't want to hear this? I'll take it to somebody who do want to hear it. Now, this is his own countrymen. They blasphemed the word of the Most High, and he didn't tell us what they said. He didn't tell us what they did. But he said they opposed themselves. What he's saying is they rejected the message. All right? And they were in opposition to the gospel. Well, it really meant that they were really in opposition to their own selves, and they didn't know it. I'm trying to give you the truth and bring you into the kingdom, and here you are rejecting it in opposition to your own self. You don't know what you're doing to yourselves. But because you did this, Paul said he shook his raiment, his clothes. Let me shake this off, and let me shake this dust off of me. Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. I was supposed to give you a message. I gave you the message. You rejected it. From henceforth, I will go unto the Gentiles. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshiped Elohim, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. So this was a man's house named Justus, and his house was actually attached. Join hard means that it was attached to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on Yah with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. You must be born of the water and of the what? Spirit. They got baptized. Then spake Yah to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak. And hold not thy peace. Don't be up. Go ahead and what? Tell them.
Yep.
Don't be afraid to talk about the kingdom. For I am with thee. No man shall set on thee to hurt thee. For I have much people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months. What city is he in?
Italy.
He's in Corinth.
Corinthians.
And he's there for a year and something. A year and 6 months, 18 months, teaching the word of Elohim among them. And when Galileo, I think that's how you pronounce that one, was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul. Now, Paul is teaching this gospel. What are his countrymen doing?
They're talking against him.
Coming against him hard. And brought him to the judgment seat. Now, the scriptures tell us in the law that if you are a Hebrew Israelite, you're not supposed to really be taking your brothers to the powers to be. You're supposed to judge amongst yourselves. That's the same thing they did to Messiah. Did they take him to the Romans?
Yes, they did.
Yep.
And we're not supposed to do that. And even in the church, he tells us, hey, if you got a dispute with your brother, you settle it within the church with your brother. And if your brother won't hear, if they won't listen, and they won't accept the judgment of the church, then the church is told to put them out. Under the law, if they didn't accept the judgment of the judges and the priests, what did the law say was supposed to happen to that person that didn't want to accept the judgment?
They're supposed to die.
Anybody remember?
I think they were supposed to die.
That's right. You and I have a dispute. We can't settle it between ourselves. We go to the priests and the elders that have been set in judgment for that purpose. They make a ruling. We are bound to what? Abide by that ruling, whether it was for or against us. We are bound by the law to abide by it. And if we would not abide by it, there was no appeal. There was no appeal. Can't say, well, I'm going to take it up to a higher court. No. It is, the matter has been ruled on. And the Most High said, if that either one will not accept the ruling, they were supposed to die. This is what I found that people won't do. You know, they'll say, hey, Israel thinks they're very slick. What do you hear us saying? We keep the statutes, the laws, and what else?
Commandments.
And we'll claim that day in and day out. But he says, it's my judgments that you won't do. I said, if you got a disagreement with each other, you don't come up with another system and say, oh, well, we're going to make it levels of justice. So if you bring it to this court, and you don't agree with that court, then you can appeal and take it to this court. And if you don't agree with that court, you can appeal and take it to this court. The Most High said, uh-uh. You're going to bring it to the elders and to the priest. They're going to hear the matter. They're going to rule on it. And both of you better abide by it, by their ruling. And if you don't abide by it, then you were to die. Just that simple. How many of you think really keeping the statutes, law, commandments, and the judgments of the Most High?
None.
So, excuse me. That is his judgment, and it's his judgments that men don't want to keep. They want to make up their own. Wait a minute. I don't want to die for that. I don't agree, and I don't want to die for that. Most High says, you didn't have. Where did I tell you had a right to appeal? You don't have a right to appeal. So we say we want to belong to him, but we want to belong to him and bring our own standards. We want to belong to him and say, hey, surely he didn't mean that. Oh, that's why he says, you go about to establish your own righteousness over my righteousness. I've already ruled on this. And if you rule otherwise, you are saying that you are more righteous than me.
Mm.
I wonder how many of us fall into that category. Because see, this is what he has shown us, that this is what we did. This is how Israel went about to establish its own righteousness over his righteousness. How we got scattered. So when we come together, we can't do that. We can't make the same mistakes our forefathers made. And we can't live in a system that, because we think that the system is more fair than our Elohim. Because that's what we do. Wait a minute, the nation says, hey, we got this avenue to go through. You said you belong to the Most High Elohim. You have to go by his laws and his judgment. Are you willing to pay that price? All right, let's continue, because we need to read down through verse 10, or we already did. So the Most High told Paul that to stay there in Corinth, because he had what? Many people there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid.
That's what he told them.
Right.
Stay there. Don't be afraid, because I know that your brothers, who's going to come against you most of the time? Do you think it's going to be the Gentiles that come against us?
No, your own people.
Our own people. You ain't no Hebrew Israelite. I had a sister tell me that. I said, what makes you think that I'm not a Hebrew Israelite? Because you don't do the same things we do. I said, because a lot of the things you're doing is corrupt. Why would I follow that? If I know it's wrong, why would I follow that? Slowly but surely, she's learning. Slowly but surely, she's learning that the brothers are out there prostituting the sisters, causing the sisters to be prostitutes. Hey, you can stay with me and sign this contract, and you can be my woman, and I'll get your nails done, and you'll have sex with me, but that's all it's about. I said, you'll learn that the brothers are doing things that are corrupt. That is not in the marriage contract of the Most High. All right, so told to stay there. The one you're going to have problems with when you really try to take this true gospel out, it's going to be your own people. First, starting with your own family.
Amen.
Yes. Yes.
That's where the first real problem is going to come in. Your own family, your own flesh and blood. They are not going to want to hear it.
Nope.
And even if they call themselves being in the church, and you try to tell them truth, they're not going to want to hear it. Because the scriptures, that the way they are being interpreted, allow them to continue to do what they've been doing. And if they fall or fail, they just say what? Lord, forgive me.
Yeah.
But that's not what he says in the word. Can't just keep falling. And can't just keep asking for forgiveness over and over and over again, especially when you know what you're doing. So I made a space for you as you learn to do right. And surely you're not going to come to me and intentionally do wrong and then tell me that, forgive me. That's a fallacy. And we got to tell the truth. And people, you tell that to somebody, I dare you. Go tell anybody that you know in the church. Tell them what I've taught you concerning that, what the scriptures, don't even say I taught you, what the scripture says. Tell them, I dare you to tell them. And see what they do, see what they say. Even though you can show them in black and white,
they're
going to come against you.
Yep.
So it'll start at home first, and then it'll be of your own, you know. Typically, we hang with our own people. So you try to tell your kinsmen that and see what they say. Man, I ain't trying to hear that.
Yep.
And then that one.
But you still got to tell them. And don't take it personal when they reject it. And don't take it personal when they accept it. You just doing what you what's supposed to do.
Amen.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go to Acts chapter 4. When Peter and John were commanded not to speak about Yeshua, what was their response? Acts chapter 4, verse 20.
To do what you say, or
the book of Acts chapter 4 and verse 20, because Peter and John are in Jerusalem. They're preaching Messiah. They're preaching the gospel. Let's pick it up in verse 8. Pick it up in verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, and is everybody in Acts chapter 4 at verse 8. If you are, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right, amen. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "You rulers of the people and elders of Jerusalem, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man," because they want to know, hey, how did you heal this man? "By what means he is made whole?" He was cured, healed. "Be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Yeshua HaMashiach of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom Elohim raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of the builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved." Got to be saved in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned," these men ain't been studying in no synagogue. They ain't been to no cemetery school. I mean, you know what school I'm talking about. They haven't been to Bible college, seminary. These men are what? Unlearned.
Ignorant men.
They marveled. How are you speaking this gospel? How are you teaching this and you ain't got no degree? You ain't studied. How are you telling us the history? They marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Yeshua. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Yeah, we want to say something to y'all, and we want to come against you, but, you know, that man y'all healed over there, he a testimony what? Against you, against them. The Pharisees and the Sadducees who want to do them in. "But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do with these men? For indeed a notable miracle has been done by them. It's manifest to all of them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that is spread no further among the people." Now we're trying to do some what? We're trying to do some, what do they call it?
Cover up.
Yes. Say that again.
I said cover up.
Cover up, but they call it a something else. What they call it today is
control.
It's some type of management where they
control
are.
Damage.
Really they're going to try to spin it, and they're
going
to try to make you hush up. So let me tell you to hush up, and then we'll spin the story another way. Okay, but there's another word for it in the corporate life. But that is spread no further among the people. Let us straightly threaten them, that they speak henceforth no man in this name. Don't y'all say nothing else about Yeshua. Don't say nothing else about Jesus. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor to teach in the name of Yeshua. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of Elohim to hearken or listen unto you more than unto Elohim, you judge. You say you worship the God of the Elohim of the heaven and earth, the creator of heaven and earth, the king of Israel. Should I listen to him or to you? For we cannot but speak the things which we have heard. So, when they were confronted, what did they tell them?
We're going to
speak the things that we have what? Heard.
Heard.
Rather than you telling us to shut up. We got to spread the gospel. And so, should nobody be able to shut you down? Do they have laws that you can't talk about religion at work?
No.
Yes, they do.
Most places do have rules and stuff about that. If you, because you might try to give a Muslim the gospel or an atheist, and they typically, if they'll warn you one time, and if you do it again, then they will usually fire you. So you have to decide, even on the job, what you're going to say and not say, and how are you going to present it. I remember I used to have these conversations at work. I remember one guy came to me and said, I'm offended in what you said. I said, why? Tell me why you're offended. Well, I just don't believe it that way. I said, okay, that's fine. But just say you don't believe in that way. But why are you offended? Because you're teaching something that I don't believe. I said, well, you believe something that I don't believe. I'm not offended at what you believe. So why are you offended? The truth of the matter is, he just didn't want to what? Hear it.
Yeah.
And the job will tell you, well, hey, you can't teach that stuff. You can't teach it at work. In a public place, you know, where you're at your employers. Having these types of conversations, I would be in the lunchroom talking about, you know, Christianity and racism and politics, everything that they said were hot button subjects I was talking about. And, you know, a lot of people were like, we ain't supposed to talk about that stuff. I'm like, why not? We're grown people. If you're offended, then just tell me that you don't want to have this conversation, and then you can bow out. I shouldn't have to stop talking because you're here. If you don't want to hear it, then you have the opportunity to what? Leave. Because I said the truth of the matter is, just as you have freedom of speech, I have freedom of speech. And I choose to talk about this. And if you don't want to hear it, I think I was here first. Not like I walked up to you and started talking about this. It's just like, okay, when I was in the military, sexual harassment. And when it first came out, you know, you had a lot of guys getting in trouble for sexual harassment. And the truth of the matter is, sexual harassment is what? It's subjective. If one man comes up to you and then he approaches you, and he makes a comment to you, and you don't want that man to approach you, then if he says, oh, baby, you sure are beautiful, but you don't want to hear that from him, did he harass you?
No.
And that's
no.
A question for you ladies. Did he harass you?
No.
Yes, it is.
Is it harassment? Yeah.
No, I feel.
So whoever said it was, tell me how it's a harassment.
Because we on the job. He ain't got no business trying to rap to me on no job. That's not what I'm there for.
Well, see, do you have workplace? Do they have rules about workplace relationships?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, they do. They have rules about workplace relationships, and technically speaking, you're not supposed to try to talk to somebody that works for you, that you are supervised, right?
That's right.
Because you can influence, you know, you can influence their performance rating and all this kind of stuff. And but most people, if they work a lot, where do they meet their people they date?
At work.
At work. So then, or harassment. So I think that was you, Sister Mary.
Yep.
If you're at work and a brother comes to you and he says, Sister Mary, you know what? You are so beautiful. I would like to take you to dinner. And you didn't want that attention from him, then you would say what? No?
I'll tell him, no, that's okay. I don't date on my job.
Okay. Now, technically speaking, that's not harassment. Because if it was somebody that you did want to talk to, you could say, okay, yeah, we'll go, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I just never...
You can accept the invitation from somebody else. I don't want it from you. Now, if you tell the brother no, and he persists, he comes back again and asks you again,
now that's harassment.
Then that's harassment.
Because
you told him what?
Yes. No, no.
I don't date on the job, so don't ask me. He come back again, now he's harassing you. Does that make sense?
Right.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. I just never dated on my job.
Amen. Well, it happens, okay? And if you work somewhere and you're putting in 9, 10, 11, 12 hours a day, you're single, or that's where a lot of workplace, affairs start?
Yeah.
People working together on the job, and then, you know, they're not going home. They're at work most of the time, and then all of a sudden they find themselves involved with somebody at the job. Okay. And so, you know, if you're single and you got into that, then the thing that why I brought this up, because harassment is subjective, and there are, you know, a young lady might not want the attention from this person, but she wanted from this person.
Okay.
So two different people can come up and approach her. One she will accept, and the other she what? Rejects. But because she doesn't want the attention from the one, doesn't mean because he approached her that it's harassment.
Okay.
But once she tells him no, if he comes back again, then he's what? Harassing her.
Harass, yeah.
Okay. It's the same way in this gospel. Okay, so when you are on the job, people may not want to hear about what, the gospel?
Right.
And so, you know, if this is what you're about and you start telling them about the gospel, if they say, I don't want to hear it, then you can't keep what? Pushing it on them.
Right.
Right.
But if they want to hear it, you're free to talk about it. The same thing. Okay. It's subjective. One person may not want to hear it while another one does. So if somebody, you know, I've had people to accuse me. I was like, hey, when you told me you didn't want to hear it, did I keep pushing it at you? Well, no, you didn't. Then how am I harassing you? Because you say you want to hear it. Now, if you stay there and I was talking to somebody else, that's not on me. That's on you. And HR had to leave it alone. So just know that there's ways to approach everything. What the world will say, you know, is harassment or, you know, improper. It's not improper until it is improper.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know how to go about it, hey, this person is open to hearing the gospel, this one's not. Well, let me have a conversation with you over here. And it's you and I talking now. And I'm going to tell you what Elohim says. Person don't want to hear it, okay, I'll shake the dust off with you. Everybody get that?
Yes,
I do. I get it now.
Okay. All right, amen. Because, yeah, you know, when I first got into that harassment thing, especially with the young ladies and being a manager and a supervisor, you know, a lot of the young ladies are talking about, you know, so-and-so is harassing me. And they would come and tell me, I'd be like, okay, tell me what happened. Well, you know, he came off to me like, you know, he wanted to get with me. I was like, okay, how many times has he done that? Well, that was the first time. I said, what did you tell him? I told him I wasn't interested. I said, now, if he comes back again, I said, then it's harassment. I said, because if I know somebody, like I said, if so-and-so comes in and approaches you, well, I want to go out with them. I said, but they said the same thing to you that this one did. And you don't think it's harassment from this person, but you think it's harassment from this one. I said, so both of them have a right to approach you. Once you tell them that you're not interested, then the one you told that you're not interested no longer has that right anymore.
Right.
Okay. So let's keep moving. Let's go to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, and we're still looking at the same question. What were their responses when they were, asked, told not to speak? Now let's get verse 29. And this should be your response. If you're told not to speak the gospel, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey who rather than men?
Elohim.
Hello. To obey Elohim. You have a commandment to spread this gospel. And if you are zealous about it, and that and that's what you're about, you're going to talk to some people that don't want to hear it. And if you are talking, even amongst, the church, if you are talking the true gospel and they are preaching something else that goes against their doctrine, they're going to tell you to what? Shut up?
Yep. They don't want to hear.
You got to know what authority you're talking by. If it's by the Most High, then you need to just tell them, I need to obey the Most High and not you. What was the response of those who heard about the threats made by the Sanhedrin? Let's go back to Acts chapter 4. Let's get verses 5 and 6. Acts chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right, thank you. Thank you. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Ananias the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. Okay, so we got all these people that belong to high society, right? The high priest and his family. His kindred. This is all the Aaronic priesthood, really. And when they had set them in the midst, they set the apostles in the middle, they asked, by what power and by what name have you done this? Heal this man. Let's drop down to verse 24. For sake of time. You can read everything in between on your time. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to Elohim with one accord. This is how all the people responded, how they reacted. And said, Yah, thy Elohim, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and why did the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against Yah, and against his Christ. So the people, how they respond? They're saying, hey, they came against the rulers and told them what? The truth. You don't want us to speak the gospel, but we're going to tell you the truth of the gospel. You have tried to come against Yah and his Messiah. Their response was that they were indignant concerning you know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees trying to shut them down. And if you go back up in between, you'll see that they threatened them, and then they let them go. And when they came and told their brethren, you know, everybody celebrated. But they, you know, told them, hey, you can't tell us. We're gonna obey God. Let's keep reading. For to do so whatsoever thy hand, verse 28, and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Yah, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness that we may what? Speak thy word. Give us strength. By stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Yeshua. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken. So when people come against us teaching the word, what are you supposed to do? Take it to the Most High. Tell him to do what? Look at what they're doing. Grant me the power and the strength to do miracles and wonders and signs in the name of who? Yeshua. Can we hear this?
Yes, I do.
If you work a wonder or a sign in front of somebody and they know it's a miracle, do you think it's going to affect the way they think?
It might, yeah.
It more than likely will. It's when we come with no signs and we're just talking, right?
Right.
Let somebody tell you a lie, and because they told you a lie, they dropped dead. What do you think how people would react?
I'd be scared.
Do you think they would get fearful?
Yeah.
Everybody else that knew about it?
Yeah.
Then start getting afraid. Oh, don't be lying to Sister Mary. The Most High is in her. You lie to her, you die. You think that they would be lying to you?
No, they wouldn't.
This is what we're missing today. So we got to first believe it ourselves. We got to have that expectation. We got to, you know, go to the Most High and say, look at what they say to us. Look at how they threaten us. Just read that word. Let's read that again. Starting in verse 29. This is a prayer. And now, Yah, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Give me strength, Yah, to speak your what? Word.
Word.
With what? Boldness.
Boldness.
By stretching forth thy hand to heal. Not you stretch forth your hand, even though it's your hand going to be stretching forth, you to understand that it's who in you. The Most High. So when you stretch forth your hand, the Spirit of the Most High within you is stretching forth his hand.
Amen.
To do what? To heal. You got to understand that it's not you doing it, in other words. Amen?
Amen.
But you got to believe that that the Most High is in you. You got to not just believe it, you got to what? Know it. Because if you ask in doubt, what's going to happen?
Won't happen.
You're not going to see
it. It won't happen. He says, I ain't doing nothing for you because you what?
Doubt it.
Unbelief.
So why can't we heal people today? Why did we see that not manifesting like it should? Because we don't believe. We doubt. We don't believe we have the gift. We don't believe that the Most High, you know, I got to say it this way. I hate to say it this way. But it's like we don't believe that the Most High is within us. Because we're not operating by faith. This is why when we're studying discipleship, it's important that we understand the rules of engagement. I shall dwell in you. Know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost, and that the Holy Ghost resides in you?
Mm-hmm.
You got to know that and believe it. And you got to understand that the Most High want to do a work through you. So whatever he puts into your heart and into your mind, he's going to tell you, stretch forth your hand and unction you to speak a healing. And you got to be obedient to it. I don't know if I should do that. I don't know if I can do that. Just be what? Obedient and believe. Because we don't see a lot of these things because we don't believe. And so if we pray for something and we don't believe it, the scripture already tells us what the result is, right?
Yep.
You're not going to get it. You're doing a crapshoot. Let me roll these dice and see if I get what? Lucky. Ain't no luck. You got to know that you know that you know. You got to believe it. You got to do it in faith and believe it. And the person receiving has to also what?
Believe it.
Believe. They have to also believe. Messiah asked them all the time, do you believe? So you have to believe and have faith that the Most High is working through you, and that person has to believe that the Most High is going to heal them, even if they don't understand that it's coming through you. They have to have faith in the Most High that he's going to do it. If they don't have faith, it's not going to happen for them, no matter how much you believe, unless the Most High wants to do a work as a sign. But even with Messiah on the earth, if we read about him and the people who didn't believe him, it'll tell you that he can only cure a headache because of the people's what?
Belief.
Unbelief. Because of their lack of faith. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Let's continue. In verse 29 and 30, what did they ask the Most High for? And Yah, behold their threatenings. Grant unto thy servants boldness to speak thy word. This is what they're asking the Most High for. And by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. They prayed for this. They asked. And they believed that they were going to what? Receive it. And when they had prayed, the place was what? Verse 31.
He was shaken.
Shaken.
Shaken. The Most High showed up. And they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh.
Yeah.
And they spake the word of Elohim with boldness. What they had asked for, they received. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. We've read this before. We got to be of one heart, one mind, one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. All right, let's keep going. After praying and receiving the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, what did they do? Verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of Elohim with boldness. Question 17. If we remain faithful witnesses, what can we expect? Go to Matthew's chapter 19. Matthew's chapter 19. And let's get verse 29. And when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
Now, we've talked about this before. This is not the words of Brother Miles. And everyone that has forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or fathers, or mothers, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive a hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. That's what you can expect. And I told you that 99% of all the saints going to qualify for this. The saints, those that actually make it in, the true saints, they're not going to get up the first resurrection because you're required to suffer with him. To give up your life if you want to rule with him. So if you come if you go to church every Sunday, or you go to, let's put it this way, you go to Sabbath class every Sabbath, you come to the newcomers class, you keep Sabbath, you keep the dietary laws, but you didn't have to suffer for Messiah or for the word of Elohim. I'm talking about suffer by giving up your life. This is your reward right here, and you should highlight that in your Bible. That's what you're going to get. And you will receive that at the second resurrection. You will not get up the first resurrection. And this is something that, you know, again, the church does not teach. Everybody's going to get up at that last trump. So they're telling people. But he tells you what qualifies you for it. How many parts? Can anybody tell me how many parts the first resurrection is in?
How many parts?
Yeah. Did you know it was in parts?
No.
The dead in Christ.
Who was the first? Who was the first part of the resurrection?
The dead that's in Christ rises first.
Well, it first started with who? Messiah?
Right. He's the first one from the dead.
So that's the first part.
And them that died in him or for him rises up after him. But, you know, the second one that rises up. The dead in Christ.
Okay, if they died for him.
Right.
They'll rise. So when we're reading some of these scriptures, we're reading as though we qualify for that portion of the resurrection. Everybody who believes in Messiah, who keeps the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Messiah, they stop sinning. Let me say this, and then we will stop here for this evening. Everybody who believes in Messiah, who stops sinning, who die, go to sleep in Messiah, but they didn't die for the word of Elohim or for the testimony of Christ. There's a difference there, right?
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Can you believe in Messiah and keep the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High and not die for the word of Elohim?
Say that again.
Can you believe in Messiah, keep the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High, and not die for the testimony of Christ or for the word of God, meaning that you weren't killed for it. Can you do those things and not be killed for the word of God?
Yes, you can. Because the one
we can live a normal life, right?
Right. He's talking about the one that
not die, not be killed because we were out there testifying about Christ. Can we say that can happen?
It can.
Yes. Yes.
We can do all those things and not die for the word of the Most High. We just passed, we got killed in a car accident, or we died a natural death. If I got killed in a car accident, did I die for the word of God?
No, you didn't.
If I die a natural death, I live, let's say I live a saved, sanctified life, and I'm, keeping the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High, and then I just go to sleep and join my fathers. Did I die for the word of God or for the testimony of Christ?
No, you didn't. You was just a righteous man and died.
I just was a righteous man and I died, right?
Right.
Right.
Then I will receive the reward in Matthew chapter 19, verse 29. Everybody understand that?
Yes, you, brother.
Yep. Yes.
Let's go to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. And when you have it, if you say amen.
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 Let's get verses 4 and 5. Revelation chapter 20, verses 4 and 5. And when you have it, say amen. I want, this is, these to be clear in your mind.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And I saw the thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them. Somebody tell me how many of y'all been beheaded?
Neither one of them.
If somebody answered they've been beheaded, I want to get off the line.
I know, huh?
Yeah, because somebody didn't call to somebody they shouldn't have called up.
Right. Something wrong.
That were beheaded for the witness of Yeshua and for the word of Elohim. How many of us can say that we have not worshipped the beast? If the beast is here, we were supposed to have an opportunity to where we reject worshiping the beast, right?
Right.
Right.
Or worshiping his what? Image?
His image, yeah.
Right.
No, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. This is what, and they, if you die, if you were beheaded for the witness of Yeshua and for the word of Elohim, or if you had not worshiped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon your foreheads or in your hands, then you will live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. Is that what that verse says?
That's what it says.
Yeah.
That's what it says, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
So unless you qualify for one of these qualifications right here, you're not going to reign with Christ 1,000 years. I don't care how righteous you were.
Okay, I got you.
Amen?
Amen? Amen.
If you are a righteous man or a woman, and you just went to sleep in Messiah, you died, or you got killed, however you passed, but it wasn't for the word of Elohim or for the testimony of Christ, that wasn't the reason that you were killed. If you don't take the mark of the beast, you're going to be killed. If you don't worship his image, you're going to be killed.
Oh, okay.
Everybody in this paragraph is killed.
I got you.
Got it?
Yes.
then you're going to be resurrected, and you qualify to reign with Christ 1,000 years. Now, everybody else, verse 5. But the rest of the dead live not again until what?
1,000 years.
Until Messiah's, until the millennial kingdom is over. This is the first resurrection. So you got to qualify for the first resurrection. You got to not only believe in Messiah and live a holy life, but you have to have been killed for the testimony or for the witness of Mashiach and for the word of Elohim. Or you had to live during the time of trials and tribulations and didn't take the mark of the beast. And if you don't take the mark of the beast, you're going to be hunted, and you're going to be what? Killed.
Oh,
or you're going to be out somewhere where you are desolate, so desolate that the Most High is able to protect you, and you don't take that mark during that time, and you will still qualify because you didn't take the mark.
Gotcha.
Got it?
Got it.
So this is the only way you qualify. Don't take the mark of the beast. Don't worship his image. And don't get caught, because it says, pray that your flight be not in the what? Winter?
Winter, yes.
Or on the what?
Sabbath.
Sabbath.
On the Sabbath day. The Most High don't excuse you for traveling on the Sabbath day. Even during the time of trials and tribulations, you don't get a pass. Don't dishonor my day to save your life.
Amen.
If that's going to happen, go ahead and die, and I'll resurrect you. And you will have died for the word of the Most High, or the testimony of Christ, or you would not have taken the mark of the beast. This is what qualifies you for that first resurrection. The first resurrection is in 5 parts. I'm going to tell you that now. We'll look at them another time. But it's in 5 parts. It's not a single event. Amen?
Amen.
So just take my word for it, or you can do what?
Research.
Search it yourself. I think I'll give you guys that as a question. I've already told you the answer, how many parts, and I might make you go find the 5 parts to the first resurrection.
Right. Yeah, do that. Let us find
Amen.
The 5 parts.
I'll be cheating, so I got it underlined in my Bible.
Amen. Yeah, I think I will do that. Give you the question, what are the 5 parts of the first resurrection? Because many people think that it's one event. But it's more than one event. Okay? But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. The church is teaching everybody that everybody qualifies for the what? First resurrection?
First resurrection.
But everybody don't qualify for the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power, the lake of fire. But they shall be priests of Elohim and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. This is who reigns with him. Everybody is part of the first resurrection. And the only way you qualify for the first resurrection is that you suffered for the word of Elohim or for the testimony of Christ, of Yeshua. You got killed. You suffered, because he tells us, if you're willing to suffer with me, You know, having to keep the statutes, laws, and commandments is not supposed to be what? What's the word it uses?
Grievous.
Grievous.
Grievous. Can't say you suffered because you had to keep the statutes, laws, and commandments, because it's not supposed to be grievous.
Right.
Man, I'm suffering keeping these statutes, laws, and commandments. Most I says, you ain't mine.
That should be a privilege.
It's a privilege and it's an honor.
It is.
It's not supposed to be grievous. Oh, I'm suffering, you know, not going out and partying. I'm suffering not doing the things that the world is doing. I wish I could do what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't really want to be a part of his kingdom. You don't really want to belong to him. Okay. So if you suffer with him, then you shall reign with him. You got to do the same suffering he did. He gave his life. He's telling you if you give your life, let me ask it this way. Did Messiah pretend to go up on the cross and die?
No, he didn't.
No. No, he didn't.
He actually did it, right?
Yes.
Yes.
He's telling you actually have to suffer the same way he suffered. Not the same death. You ain't got to be crucified, but you got to lose your life. Literally. Not figuratively. Literally. And in the last times of the Antichrist, if the Most High protects you and you don't have to take the mark of the beast, you will still qualify. Because if you get caught, let's do a scenario real quick and then we'll call it a night. Times of trial and tribulations comes upon us. The government puts out the system and says, hey, you got anybody that don't take this mark, you can't buy or sell or do anything. You can't get a job. You can't go to the stores unless you have this mark. You've been keeping the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. You got to eat. You got children. They need to eat. And the only way that you can eat is to take this mark. The scripture says that you just signed your death warrant with the Most High. So you can't do that. So you're running because you refuse to take the mark. You see what's coming, you leave, and you go out in the middle of the wilderness. And you have to be what? Self-sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're not, you're going to die. You stay in the city, they're going to be coming door to door. So you're at home, and the government puts this system in place. And then the National Guard shows up at your door because they've been activated. Martial law. You ain't supposed to be on the streets after a certain time. If you go to the store, we have a system that checks and makes sure that you have this mark. And if you don't have this mark, you can't buy groceries. If you don't have this mark, you can't work in corporate America. You can't even work in a private business because they're going to be checking the private business to make sure that they're what? Conforming.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to make it in the city, and they come to your house, and they said, have you taken the mark? No, we're not going to take the mark. Well, y'all come on out here. You got to get in this truck, and we're going to ship you off to this camp. And everybody that we ship off to this camp ain't coming back. Or we're going to bring you outside in the front lawn. Where is your youngest child at? Bring him here. Take the mark, or we're going to shoot your youngest child in the head. What are you going to do?
You have to get shackled. I ain't taking no mark.
Because this is what tactics they're going to use.
If they have to shoot me, then they just have to shoot me because I'm not taking no mark.
Amen.
It's already made up in my mind.
Let everybody know these are the tactics that they're going to use.
Well, all I can say
and
is for the Father I live and for the Father I die.
Yep.
Amen. Amen. So this is what he's talking about. You have to be willing to suffer with him. So there's going to come a time where a lot of people have the opportunity to die for him.
Amen. Yeah.
And you'll qualify for verse 4 and 5 in Revelation. You'll qualify for the first resurrection. But if you take the mark, then the Most High says you are automatically condemned to the lake of fire. Not only to die, but to the lake of fire.
Mm.
Let's skip that. Let's see. Let me find that verse and we'll call it a night. I believe it's in Revelation chapter 11. Because in this time, let's read this, because I don't think a lot of people know this.
The two witnesses?
No, I'm not looking for the two witnesses. I think it's Revelation chapter 14. Let's go to Revelation chapter 14. And if you have it, say amen.
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 The book of Revelation, chapter 14. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, saying, and having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts. And we'll have to do a lesson on these four beasts. Because these four beasts, you might think that they're beasts, but they're really peoples. And elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth. And these are they which were not defiled with women. For they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto Elohim, unto the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of Elohim. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, and to kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear Elohim. Gotta fear him. Fear Elohim and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. And worship him that made the heaven and the earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel. So we have the 144,000. then we have the gospel being preached to everybody, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Telling them to fear Elohim. Okay. For his hour of judgment has come. You better fear him. And now there's another angel, another messenger, saying Babylon is fallen, is fallen. That great city that great city, because she made all nations to drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship who?
The beast and his image,
and receive
the mark
in his
forehead or his hand.
The same, anybody that does that, the same shall drink of what?
The wrath of Yah.
He's going to come after. He's going to come against them with a vengeance. Anybody that takes the mark, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Now we got a colon, so we got to keep reading because this explains what was previously said. And the smoke of there, all those who worship the beast or did anything in verse 9 and 10, and their smoke and the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receives the mark of his name, they get no rest. They're going to be tormented, what, day and night? Forever.
Yeah.
Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of the Most High and the faith of Yeshua. Can't just have faith in Messiah. You got to also do what?
Yep. Faith in Yeshua.
Keep the commandments.
Right.
You got to keep the commandments also.
Oh, yeah.
Can't say we ain't under the law. Can't say we ain't got it. We are saved by faith. You got to have faith in Messiah and keep the commandments.
Keep his commandments.
Okay? So here is the patience of the saints. The saint, now it's going to tell you who the saints are. This is what qualifies you as a saint. Here are they that keep the commandments of Elohim and the faith of Yeshua. So how is the church going to say, you ain't up under the law and you ain't got to keep it?
Oh, I don't know.
And think that they're going to make it in. Verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in Yah from this time forward, from henceforth. When this time comes, if you die in him, meaning that you're dying for the word of Yah or for the testimony of Christ. You're not taking the mark of the beast. You're going to die. He says, blessed are they that die in Yah from henceforth, from this time forward. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. You were running. You were preaching the gospel. You're telling everybody to repent. You got caught. I'm not taking the mark. I'm not bound down to that beast. They're going to kill you.
Right.
Understand that. He says, blessed are you if you die in Yah from this point forward. It's the time of this is the time when the Antichrist is on the scene. That you may rest from your labors. Trust me. Fighting for your life every day, in fear of your life every day, because you refuse not to testify, or you refuse not to testify for the Most High. You refuse not to be a witness of Yeshua. You refuse to bow down to that beast. You refuse to take the mark. You're going to be in fear of your life, and you're going to be laboring to do that. Since now you get rest from your labors. And your works do follow you. So he's telling you here, you're going to die. If you live during this time, and you don't worship the beast, then the vast majority of us are going to do what? If we don't worship the beast, what's going to happen to the vast majority of us?
We're going to get killed.
We're going to get killed. And you got to be prepared for that. That
Amen.
Will qualify you for the first resurrection. Okay? But that's the only way that you qualify. Or you're out here preaching the word of the Most High, testifying about Messiah. And somebody that's a non-believer comes up and say, I don't believe that it shoots you because you were testifying. Then you qualify. But if you just lay down and go to your natural death because it was your time, your body wore out, and you died, you believe the Messiah, then you're going to get whatever was in Matthew's chapter 19 and verse 29. You can get 100-fold of whatever you gave up. And if you didn't give up nothing, how are you expecting to receive something?
Amen.
Right. Amen.
100-fold of zero is zero.
Right.
But you still got everlasting life. You still get the crown of life. You still enter into the kingdom. But your reward is going to be what? You're not going to get 100-fold. 100-fold of nothing. So if you paid your tithes and you gave up land and you gave up homes and you lost your family because they didn't want to follow you into the gospel, into the kingdom, you know, they'd rather stay in the world. You see, you get it all back 100-fold.
Man.
Now, if you got killed for this word, then you qualify to rule with me. Because we're going to go over that next week. Part of the question that I asked, the reason why I added it here, because people have to know, if you do rule with Messiah, you got to rule the same way he rules.
Amen.
Right of iron.
You know, if he's gonna say, I'm forgiving everybody, then you got to forgive everybody. But if he says, you know what, if they've been disobedient to me, kill them. Then if you find somebody being disobedient, what do you think you got to do?
Kill him.
You got to kill him if he said kill him.
You got to kill him because he said to do it.
That's right.
We don't get told this stuff. So we get painted this picture, you know, and I want, you know, those that come, that they understand and that they worship the Most High in spirit and in truth.
And truth.
All right.
I don't know about
nobody
else, Brother Miles, but I fear the Father more than I fear anything I've ever seen in my life.
Amen. That makes two of us.
Yeah.
I really do. I'm not playing about that. And if I got to go, then you go.
Amen. Amen and amen. Trust me that a lot of people don't want to hear this. And even when they hear it, they don't want to believe it.
Yeah.
They don't want it to apply to them. But you know the scripture says, let the word of Elohim be true, and every man a what? Liar.
Every man be a liar.
So as he has shown me, once you know to do better, you ought to what? Do better.
Do better.
And if the Most High says it still ain't good enough, well, he's the ultimate judge. You're still going to be obedient.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
So, Father, we thank you for your word on this evening.
Amen.
Father, make us effective witnesses that we might win souls to the kingdom, that we might ask you for everything that we need and believing that we receive it, that we might get it to do the work that you have set before us, that we might be those faithful servants. Father, if we qualify for, and our will is to qualify for the 100-fold, Father, let us do what we need to do to get the 100-fold. If we desire
Amen.
A throne, then let us be willing to lose our life
Amen.
For your kingdom's sake and for the word of Elohim. Father, if somebody were to come in on our house, we would protect our house with our life. And this gospel that you have given us is way more precious than our house.
Amen.
We should be willing to die for your gospel.
Amen.
In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
All right. So we'll pick this up. We are in question number 16. 17. Yeah, we're actually in 17.
18.
17. I didn't go through all the scriptures in 17 yet.
Oh, okay.
Only went to Matthew chapter 19 and 29.
28. Okay.
We still got some other scriptures to go through in that question. That goes to 2 Timothy and James and Revelation.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
In regards to that one question. Okay. So we will pick it back up at question number 17, but we will continue with 2 Timothy and finish looking at the verses that apply to this question. That being said, on Thursday, the business meeting, I will send out some updates and send out a new agenda for the meeting this week for all who are going to attend. And I'm still waiting to talk to the insurance agent for those that, you know, what we brought up on last week to see what I definitely have to do to do these policies. Because, you know, I want to get them as soon as possible, but I want to make sure everything is decent and in order, that it's done right, and we're not going to have no type of, you know, mess when everything is all said and done. We want to do everything right.
Amen.
So I'm going to talk to him before then, and then, you know, I'll present it, and then we'll do whatever's necessary, all those who have agreed. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
All right. So may the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. We cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Shalom,
amen,
family, and have a blessed rest of your night or evening, whatever you may be in.
Amen. You also,
go through your study
me.
Guide and answer those questions ahead of time.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
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 Because I'm gonna, I think for this week, as far as study questions go, I'm gonna start sending you guys stuff on the tabernacle, as
amen,
it relates to the birth of Messiah.
Oh, okay.
All right, amen. Because we got that coming up in a week or so. Amen.
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 All right. So, I love you all. Peace
love
and blessings.
Love you too, bro.
Shalom, family.
Shalom.
Shalom.
And where is my theme song at? There it is.
Sometimes all I wanna do is jump, lift my hand up high and stomp. Play me with the water, baptized, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpacha, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you. Cause without you, there's no me. I need a hand. Cause I'm just a man. You're always there. Teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do? I don't have you. It's all about you. Cause without you, there's no me. I need a hand. Cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall.